This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, hey, hey. Top of the hour to you. Welcome back. Gwynn and Chris. 5:01 is the time. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony Gwynn Jr. idle today. Matt Scraby sitting in nicely. Tony will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock, full four-hour show tomorrow for you. Gwynn and Chris is brought to you by our great friends at Sonic Drive-Ins here in San Diego. That's amazing burgers, pickles, and the whole rest of it, Tony.
Pickles?
Drinks, 8 locations around town. Google Sonic San Diego. Find the location nearest you. Thanks, Sonic. Gave you a little update at the beginning of the show on Dr. Anthony Fauci's timeline for when sports stadiums might be full again. Thought I'd touch on that for those who missed it earlier. Fauci, in a phone interview today with Yahoo Sports, said that the NBA is unlikely to see fans until perhaps around playoff time. Hopefully, June, July, Fauci seems to think that might be about the time when you might see some fans start to trickle back into games. Fauci talks about the fact that the vaccines that are coming out now will be given out most likely to those who need it most in December, January, February. Hopefully by March, April, May, the rest of us will have the opportunity to take vaccines should we so choose. Fauci thinks it's almost impossible to totally predict exactly when fans will be packing their ways into stadiums.
I need a date, Fauci.
Yeah, give me a date. I want to circle it on the calendar. But it's impossible to say because you don't know how many people are going to take the vaccine. And that's fair of him to leave that as a possible, you know, just a situation you have to wait to see how that develops. But when he was asked about,
I said, I don't think it's going to go well.
You don't think it's going to go well?
I think there are going to be a lot of people that are, not that we're trying to get into this conversation, but
yeah,
I think there's going to be a lot of people who aren't.
We could get into this conversation, but I really don't want to.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll go better than we hope it'll go.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, I can't make people take a vaccine. I can't say I'm going to take a vaccine unless I have enough proper information at my disposal before I would take one. But I certainly do want the world to return to some sense of normalcy, and I think everybody wants that, or I'm pretty sure everybody wants that. Dr. Fauci did say, though, when asked about full NFL stadiums in September of 2021, he said, oh, that's possible. I think that's possible. So a little bit of good news from Dr. Anthony Fauci today. It's a bit of a timeline. It's not a specific timeline, but you hope that by the summer, maybe middle of the baseball season, enough people will have access to a vaccine that you might be able to start sprinkling some baseball fans back into stadiums. I mean, to have to go through an entire baseball season without fans would be difficult.
Very difficult.
Basketball, hopefully you might be able to get some fans back for a postseason, perhaps. And as far as the NFL is concerned, you know, next September,
business as usual.
Hopefully, well, the NFL will carry on as if it's business as usual no matter what
this.
The circumstance. They've been carrying on as if business was as usual this year,
yeah,
for heaven's sakes. The other NFL note today, word out of Denver that the quarterbacks who all were not allowed to play on Sunday, Drew Locke, Brett Rypien, and Blake Bortles, all tested negative once again for the coronavirus pandemic today. And had the NFL just simply moved the Saints-Bronco game to Tuesday, as they were more than willing to do with the Ravens-Steelers game, which is now going to be played tomorrow, the Broncos could have at least played the game with a quarterback.
I know.
And I think that's got Scraby really upset.
It does have me upset because they it's not even about the 49ers anymore.
No,
it's
not.
Actually about the competitive balance.
You're sticking up for the competitive balance of the league.
It is the competitive
balance.
And the competitive balance of the league is what the league was built upon. I believe 100%.
It's what Roger Goodell preaches, the competitive balance of the league.
But when you have the team who's responsible for the
CB
outbreak,
of the L.
The what?
The CB of the L, the competitive balance of the league.
Yes, the CB of the L.
Yes.
It needs to
be enforced.
That's
what it's all about.
And if you're giving the team who had the outbreak all the breaks, you're teaching them nothing. What the NFL said they were doing, well, they didn't specifically say it, players on the Broncos said it, is they were making an example out of the Broncos.
Yeah.
Why
not
make
an
example
out of the
Broncos,
all right? They made of an example of the Broncos, all right? They made the 49ers play with less than a full roster several weeks ago against the Packers. I didn't like you bringing that up at first, but now that I've watched how this whole thing has developed, and not only are the Ravens getting all the time in the world to get ready for this game against the Steelers, I mean, all the way till tomorrow, but next week the Steelers have to play on Monday.
I don't get
this. And the Ravens get yet another day to get ready and don't play again until next Tuesday.
And the terrible Cowboys haven't played at that point since Thanksgiving.
That's right. The Cowboys will be off from Thanksgiving until the following Tuesday. And then they'll, of course, have a short week prior to their following game. But
yeah,
it's the Bronco thing was an embarrassing mess for the National Football League. And I think if the National Football League... And they've been making it all up as they've been going along. We've been kind of pointing that out all year long. But if they had to do it all over again, they would have not allowed the Broncos to play on Sunday. They would have given them their, quote, punishment. But at least waited a day or so to see if these guys could test negative and get eligible to play.
You think if this was...
And then you could have played the game tomorrow night, and at least the Broncos would have had a fighting chance against the Saints.
Yeah, at least the 49ers had a serviceable quarterback who actually...
Right, they had a real NFL quarterback playing, but the Broncos having to send out a backup wide receiver from Wake Forest was not really much of a game, and it was really an embarrassment, I think, for the National Football League.
I sent out a poll. Really, I wanted to know how many yards people thought they were going to have passing on Sunday, and my choices were 1 to 50, 51 to 100, 101 right. to 150. I thought people were going to say 51 to 100. I was going to say 51 to 100. And for the most part, people did say that. Some even said over 100. I had no idea he was going to complete one pass. Just one pass.
The guy was wide open on the one pass, too. Noah Fant caught it for 13 yards.
And
he's the answer to the trivia question.
Who caught the one?
Did you see the stat that they put up on the screen during the game? That the last team to have more interceptions in a game than completions was the Ryan Leaf-led San Diego Chargers of 2000, whatever year that was.
Ryan Leaf tweeted out that stat, and he said, thank you for not putting my name in
it. He was upset, actually. He said, you should have put my name up there and not blame the entire Charger team for that. That was my own wrongdoing. Though he did remind everybody that in that game, he completed his first pass, and then it all went downhill from there.
See, you need some sense of humor in this world.
Yeah, Ryan Leaf has turned his life around to a great extent, so that's a good thing for sure. Some of the other quick notes on this Tuesday, it's kind of a quiet day. Alabama remains atop the college football poll rankings. That doesn't surprise anybody. If you're wondering how it all looks right now, and this is the playoff rankings. Alabama's 1, Notre Dame is 2, Clemson is 3, and Ohio State is 4. There's some talk that Ohio State could fall out of that ranking because they're not playing enough games. I would think the only team that could knock them out of that is Florida, and that would be as if Florida beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. Other than that, Notre Dame is going to probably play Clemson in the ACC championship game. It won't matter who wins that game. I think both teams will stay in the college football playoff. They won't be willing to drop either of them out. And you know Alabama's going to be in. So the only question to me really left in college football this entire season is whether the fourth playoff team will be Ohio State or whether it will be Florida. And speaking of Ohio State, I don't think their coach, Ryan Day?
Yeah, Ryan Day.
He's another guy that doesn't get it. Yet another guy. There's so many of these college, major, big-time, major college football coaches who just don't get it. He's another one. I don't believe he's going to be able to coach this weekend because he tested positive for the virus. College basketball news, San Diego State adding a game against Pepperdine this Sunday. So the Aztecs will made that announcement about an hour ago. So they will have three games this week. And then get ready to go to Arizona State next week. And that's really kind of everything. The other big news, obviously, is this non-tender deal. And I definitely wanted to get some of your thoughts on that out there. If you want to give us a call, you can, 833-288-0973. The simple question is, would you tender a contract to Tommy Pham or not? I mean, it's there's not really a lot of different angles to this. Tommy Pham hit 211 last year. Tommy Pham has a wrist injury that he's trying to battle back from and a wrist surgery that he's trying to battle back from. Has the unfortunate incident outside the adult entertainment venue. What was it called?
Adult entertainment. Why am I forgetting all this? Establishment.
Establishment, yeah. So he has that unfortunate incident as well to follow him around. If you were the Padres, you have until tomorrow at this time, 5 o'clock tomorrow, to tender him a contract. Would you do it? Would you want Tommy Pham as a part of this team moving forward? Or would you rather save the $8 to $10 million it's going to cost you to keep Tommy Pham to go spend it on some help in pitching or some help somewhere else or find another guy to play left field? Or would you just be willing to put Jerks and Profar in left field and call it a day? So I'm curious what your Padre fans think of that. You know, the Padres have got some question marks now. To me, if you non-tender Tommy Pham, which means that you basically allow him to become a free agent, you just open yourself up another big question mark. And I don't like question marks.
You don't.
I mean, I'd rather have the answer. And my answer is that Tommy Pham's my left fielder. I didn't think any differently of that a while ago, and I don't think anything different about that now, even though some of these other things have happened. Chicago White Sox manager Tony La Russa going to change his plea. Misdemeanor charges stemming from his drunken driving arrest 9 months ago in Phoenix. The Hall of Fame manager previously pleaded not guilty. Is now scheduled to change his plea on December the 21st, authorities say La Russa. Let's see. He blew out a tire on his gray Lexus. He hit a curb. Test taken the night of his arrest showed his blood alcohol concentration 0.095. La Russa doesn't say what he's going to plea. Just says he's scheduled to change his plea.
Sounds like he's going to change it to guilt.
I guess. I don't know.
That's a quick, please get this over with.
Some people are joking about this, by the way. Yes. People can joke about everything on Twitter. The first time La Russa was picked up for driving under the influence, Florida 2007, mm-hmm. that is being referred to as drunk driving 1.0. Okay. And this particular incident is not being referred to as drunken driving 2.0 with Tony La Russa, but drunken driving 0.08, because that's the legal limit.
I didn't want to laugh. But hey, you people out there that tweet that stuff,
yeah,
like that, I hope you never get in trouble in your life, because I will point at you and laugh.
I know. You got to be careful of what you say, man. Things have a way of coming back around. The other quick note to pass along, and this is good news, Hall of Fame manager Tommy Lasorda has been moved out of intensive care. So that's great news. Lasorda does remain hospitalized in Southern California. He's been hospitalized since November the 8th. So it's been 3 weeks or so, a little more than 3 weeks, that Lasorda has been in intensive care. good to hear that he is out of intensive care, still hospitalized, but hoping that Lasorda is able to make a recovery. He led the Dodgers to their World Series championships in 1981 and 1988. And Padre fans everywhere love him.
I don't think that's true.
I know, but whether they do or not, they're rooting for him. They ought to be.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Not rooting for him? I mean, come on.
I don't know.
Hey, but that's true. That's true. We are in a sports world in which people sent death threats to Marquez Valdes-Scantling
because he fumbled the ball in overtime
of a football game. I tell you what, man, you people are
if you look
off
on Twitter, I'm sure there's a few people happy.
Well, I can't deal with that. Look, I've said this on this show very many times. I was never a big Tommy Lasorda fan, but I am certainly rooting for Tommy Lasorda to get healthy and feel better. All right, so everybody wants to call in? Are the phone lines jam-packed? No, they're not. Well, if you want to call and talk about this Tommy Pham situation, I'd love to hear what you have to say. 833-288-0973. We'll take a break, check some traffic, take some phone calls when we return on Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, 97.3 The Fan. Tender or not to tender? That has been the question all day long.
Every time you say that, I think of chicken tenders. Sorry, I had
chicken tenders. That's what you think of, huh?
I'm starving.
Pretty much everything on this program makes you and I think of food, and I think I can lump Tony into that same category as well.
Yeah,
all three of us pretty much are governed by food. Tony Gwynn Jr. off today, idle today. He'll be back tomorrow. 3 o'clock for the program tomorrow. Matt Scraby alongside myself, Chris Ello, as Gwynn and Chris continues. Bryce Miller from the San Diego Union-Tribune with some interesting thoughts about a lot of things going on in San Diego coming up at the bottom of this hour. But right now, a couple of phone calls out there. Let's go out to Bob on whether or not the Padres should keep Tommy Pham. Bob, you are the GM. What you got in mind, sir?
So as the GM, the one thing I don't know is how much his presence adds to the clubhouse.
Right.
But, you know, so that's a factor that I can't.
Right. You're not in the clubhouse. You don't know. Right.
Right. But if we take a look at the other aspects, all right, just so I understand he was hurt, but I mean, it was damaged goods when we got him. And I'm good with the trade. We got Cronenworth as well. So I would have, who would have known that Jake would have been as good as he is? I'd have done that trade straight up just for Jake.
As it turned out, well,
right.
That's true.
Yeah, but the issue here is if you look at the lawsuit, and I'm not judging, there's no judgment here. If you look at the lawsuit he's filing against the strip club, the language in there, part of his argument is that this is going to impact his ability as an elite baseball player.
I know. We talked about this earlier tonight. We did. We talked about this. It was like kind of like because he's almost arguing against himself in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's not the brightest move in the world. So for me, I think for $10 million, you know, you can find another outfielder. I'm good with Jurickson Profar. My two favorite, I mean, jumping off the Tatis train for a minute, because how do you not like, for, you know,
he's just your default favorite player. We know. It's ours too.
But Trent Grisham and Jurickson Profar, my two favorite Padres this year. I just loved how they played quietly but effectively, and I think you can find a third one of those and cut Pham loose.
All right, there you go. Bob, thanks. By the way, real quick, what you're going to go Profar in left field then and what, spend the extra money to get another pitcher? Perfect.
Bob?
Oh, no, yeah, I didn't know he was still there. I was just kidding. He's still there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. You know what? That's another one because I think we've been sold a bill of goods about Mackenzie Gore. So I want to see Mackenzie Gore pitch or cut bait.
I'm with you.
It's not a bad call. All right, we'll find out. Bob, there's a lot of question marks. That's what I'm concerned about if I get rid of Tommy Pham. If I keep Tommy Pham, I'm expecting more of the 2019 Tommy Pham, who had 21 home runs, walked 81 times, had an on-base percentage of .369. I'm not expecting another version of 2020 in which he hit .211 and had an on-base percentage of .312. And only, I think Bob was right, only the general manager and the Padres can really make a true determination as to how healthy Tommy Pham is and is going to be. Because when he's healthy, this guy's a big-time player. I mean, he's got some great credentials. I mean, you look at his on-base percentage in his career, Scraby, going by year, starting in 2015, 347, 411, 331, 448, 369. I mean, those are great. Those are, you know, sensational numbers to have if you're Tommy Pham. Yeah, exactly. And that's what they traded for.
Exactly.
And then they ended up getting a 312 out of it and an injured, you know, player who only made half the season. So, you know, everything has to be factored in, but I do think it's interesting. Let's find out what Ben in National City has to say here on the Gwynn and Chris get-together on this Tuesday evening. Hi, Ben. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, Chris? How's it going?
We're doing well, sir. Thank you very much.
So before I get to the Tommy Pham question, I'm also a chicken tender guy. You know, some cane sounds pretty good right now.
Oh, why did you say that?
Yeah, you just lost Scraby. You just left the building.
Scraby,
bring some back for all of us.
Whenever time Chris says tender, I just immediately flash to a chicken tender in my head.
How often do I say the word tender?
Today, a million.
Today, only a million times. Yeah. All right. So, tender or not tender? What are you doing, Ben?
I would tender him just to see how he does next year. Because again, I feel like Pham's gonna want to prove himself and everything. I agree with Bob. Bob took my answer, but I feel like if we non-tender him, maybe why not go for like a wild card? Why not try to get like Yasiel Puig for like 2 years? Maybe I don't know, $8 million, and then put Myers in left, Puig in right.
I don't know.
Never know.
Yeah. Well,
I think Yasiel Puig's hungry to play.
Yasiel Puig is a he's a problem.
Thank you, Ben.
It's a bit of an issue. Ben, good phone call. Thank you. I'm not a fan of Yasiel Puig. I am a fan of Tommy Pham.
And you're a fan of Pham?
I'm not ready to give up on the Tommy Pham thing yet. Like I said, you know, if you asked me a month ago to name the starting lineup for the Padres next year, I would have said Hosmer's at first base, Cronenworth's at second, Tatis, Machado, right field Meyer, center field Grisham, left field Pham, catcher Austin Nola. I wouldn't even have had to think twice. The only question mark I would have had would have been at the back of the starting rotation. I would have said Clevinger. I would have said Lamet. I would have said Davies. I would have said Paddock. And I would have said, who's going to get the fifth spot? But now I don't have Clevinger. That's one question mark. And I don't know what I'm going to do about that question mark. I like going in the Blake Snell direction if that's available to me. I don't mind parting with Patino or Gore, even, to be honest with you. As long as I keep one, I don't mind getting rid of one, right? I don't need to keep both of them. I don't need all three of them with Moria Hone and Weathers as well. I mean, that's four young, really promising arms. I don't need all four. Why? I can't find room for all four. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's pitching depth is necessary and guys don't make it through an entire season, but I got to have room for these guys. And right now I have an injury to Clevinger, but I have Lamet. Hopefully if all things go well, and I understand his throwing program, by the way, was supposed to start like today.
Oh, dang, you're right.
It's December. So I think that,
I think they said early December.
Well, this is early.
This is as early as you can get.
So, I mean, we should know on Lamet here pretty soon. You know, obviously if there's any setback, then that's a red flag, but you got to hope for Lamet. You got to hope Paddock bounces back. I mean, I think that's going to be a crucial part of next season is that Paddock bounces back. I'm not ready to give up the Chris Paddock experiment yet. I mean, I think everybody feels like he's a two-pitch pitcher who belongs in the minor leagues learning how to throw a curveball. It's so funny to me because nobody thought that in 2019.
Well, he had such a great
nobody.
Year.
Well, that's my point. I mean, he was fantastic with two pitches in 2019. He can be fantastic again in 2021 with two pitches. So, you know, I'm not giving up on Chris Paddock. Zach Davies, I'm very comfortable with him. But I need another guy in that rotation. I don't need four young question marks in that rotation.
I agree
and
with
that's
that.
Where,
I do.
That's where I'm willing to package one of those young arms to try and get somebody who's established. We'll see how it all turns out. All right, thanks for the phone calls. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Bryce Miller, the San Diego Union-Tribune, their columnist, he weighs in on this whole Tommy Pham situation. We'll hear what he has to say about that and other things San Diego when we return. I'm Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Idol, Matt Scraby on his way to Kane. On his, you should be on your way to Sonic.
I should be on.
Go to go to Sonic instead and bring us something back. Mm-hmm. You can get there and back during the break, can't you?
I'll make it.
It's close. All right. Yeah. It's Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Scraby, I'm concerned for my brethren.
Your brethren?
Yes, my brethren. Welcome back to the show, Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby today, 5:36 is the time. Coming up, an interview with Bryce Miller, the San Diego Union-Tribune. But I am concerned for my brethren.
Who's your brethren?
My brethren in the officiating ranks, Scraby.
Uh-oh.
According to CBSSports.com, conferences around college football are down 1 to 2 officials a week. Referees who are contracting the coronavirus.
Uh-oh.
We now go to our resident referee, Chris Ello.
Are we going to lose you to some refereeing gigs?
No. There's no high school basketball to officiate.
Oh, good point.
Right?
Yeah, good
there's
point.
No games. Good and, point. In the state of California, there's no high school sports that I know of. Said Steve Shaw, the NCAA's National Coordinator of Officials, we haven't counted it totally, but it's a steady 1 to 2 officials a week. It's impacted every conference. Of course, this all has to do with the coronavirus situation. Shaw said it's not stressed the system in terms of we don't have enough refs, but it stressed the system on Friday when we need to get people who didn't think they were working to certain games. Anyway, we're dropping, officials are dropping like flies.
They are.
Because of the coronavirus situation.
Oh,
nobody's
no.
Nobody's thinking about the poor officials either. Nobody. Nobody cares. No one cares. Just bring the next guy in. We don't care. The guy's got COVID. Take him out. Bring another guy in.
Well, we've seen what
happens.
Come
on, man.
When
these are people, too.
These are people, too. Referees are people, too.
That's right. They're real people with real families. Come on, now.
You're talking to one.
That's right.
Well, I guess I'm talking to one.
Hopefully, everything will work out. This whole college football season has been a struggle, one way or
the
other.
To say the least.
And that's just another issue that they have to deal with. All right, let's check traffic. Kelly Danik, and then on the flip side of that, Bryce Miller from the San Diego Union-Tribune.
Traffic is sponsored by Lexus Carlsbad. But we still have this rollover crash southbound 15 before Adams Avenue. Vehicle on its side blocking the slow lane. Now reports of an accident involving several vehicles, including a motorcycle. This one is South 163 Friars Road. Looks like the three right lanes are blocked. Get big savings during the December to Remember sales event going on now at Lexus Carlsbad. And get free delivery. Shop online at LexusCarlsbad.com today. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3 The Fan.
Talking everything San Diego with the fine columnist from the San Diego Union-Tribune. Enjoy his stuff and love when he's got a column in the paper because that gives me something to read while I enjoy breakfast in the mornings. That is Bryce Miller, and he joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Bryce, how you doing today, man?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're hanging in. Obviously, it's December, so we're a little closer to the end of 2020. It has been some kind of year, that is for sure, but hopefully 2021 will bring better things, although it may take a little while for 2021 to start delivering on all the promise that we have for it, you know?
Right, yeah. You know, anything good that comes our way, whenever it comes our way, we'll take it.
Yes, we will take it at any
time. Whatever shape, what timing, whatever form.
No question about that. Well, let's start with a little Padre talk right now. Obviously, this is a big week, kind of kicks off the off season, and Tommy Pham's name keeps popping up as a player that the Padres may non-tender. They may tender him a contract. You know, the thing that's interesting to me, Bryce, is I would have thought, you know, at the end of last season, Tommy Pham would have been an automatic guy that you'd want to be going forward with. But now with the injuries on the pitching staff to Clevinger and the questions with the Nelson Lamet, maybe the Padres right. would be wise to spend the money elsewhere. Where do you think they'll stand on Tommy Pham?
I don't know. that's not a very satisfying answer, but it's the truth. I mean, I'm with you. Last year when they brought him in, it felt like a no-brainer coming into this year. I see the estimates, and I don't know if they're on point or close, but I bet they're not far off. They think it might take $8 million to keep Tommy Pham. At that point a year ago, they were so craved for on-base percentage. That's why they brought him in. They were getting crushed offensively because of the inability to kind of put guys on base, set themselves up for bigger innings, score runs. But last year, he was a disappointment, I think, by anybody's standards. I mean, he wasn't even in the top 10 among regulars in on-base percentage last year. And that's not what they paid for. That's not who they got. That's not what they needed. And you would think that there's still a chance that, you know, he's got enough of a track record that he could deliver on that. You know, people have off seasons. Just ask Will Myers, you know, about that. But, you know, you could still feel confident that his track record tells you that. But then he gets stabbed outside of a strip club. And we don't really know enough about that to know if that's the kind of injury that could affect him, his abilities to hit a baseball, to make throws in the outfield. We just don't know. There's just way more question marks about Tommy Pham than anybody thought possible, you know, in this offseason. The Padres know more. So if they go ahead and sign that check, I mean, it's not like $8 million changes your ability to chase frontline pitching and those sort of things. You start getting up in those contracts, you know, with Myers and Hosmer and Machado, $20 to $30 million a year. Okay, then you're changing the trajectory of what you can do in the offseason. But normally that'd be a no-brainer to sign that check, but we just don't know enough about Tommy Pham's situation in terms of his baseball abilities and whether they've been impacted in a way that'll matter in a big way next season.
Bryce Miller, San Diego Union Tribune. Now, you just mentioned that Tommy Pham, obviously, he was stabbed outside of an adult entertainment establishment, is what I'm going to be calling it on the show today.
Listen to Scrape and describe it, because he's been there so many times.
I have not.
He knows
I have
the
not.
Proper way
I don't.
To refer
I have
to
not.
It.
It's an adult entertainment establishment, but
or strip club
or a strip club. Yes, it could be a strip club as well. But okay. We all know the Padres are very family oriented, and I'm wondering. And I know that he did this on his own time, and it wasn't during the season. And he's allowed to do whatever he wants legally outside of playing for the Padres. Do you think there's anything right in the back of their mind thinking maybe he's not a good fit for what we're offering family-wise?
Well, I don't know if they, you know, it's very rare for pro sports teams. They can say that's a factor, but really it's about what allows them the best chance to win.
True.
He wasn't doing anything illegal.
No.
What it could do, I think, is if you're having a debate in the baseball ops department, and it's a push, it's a tie, you're still debating it. Is that the kind of thing, the decision he made that night to be in a place, which I give AJ Preller credit for, said publicly in a Zoom call, wasn't his best decision making, even though it's within his rights, wasn't illegal, it was the off season. Is that the kind of a tiebreaker thing if you're having a tough conversation about Tommy Pham? Sure, I could see that more realistically, but it's all going to come down to what do they think their outfield's going to look like? Do they think he can return to form in terms of getting on base? Can he be the, you know, what are they going to do with Jurickson Profar, who now has become kind of the Swiss Army knife, you know, anywhere from the infield to the outfield? All those things are going to be thrown in a blender in terms of how they decide things related to Tommy Pham. But I don't think it'll be, even though a lot of people would like to believe that, you know, is this the best representation, you know, for our baseball team, that it's about winning and it's about the big money that's associated with winning. So we'll find out.
Yeah, that's always one out in the end. Winning games and production on the field, no question. Bryce Miller is with us from the San Diego Union Tribune. Let's just stick with the Padres. One last question on them and the pitching situation with Clevinger out. And with the question marks surrounding the fact that Mackenzie Gore never did make it to the major leagues next year, or last year rather,
right,
as far as next year is concerned, do you think the Padres have enough young guys where they can take a chance with that 4 or 5 spot in the rotation? Or do you think that they would be wise to go get an established arm, knowing full well that an established arm never guarantees anything either?
Yeah, that's interesting timing that you asked that, because I'm probably within a few days from writing a column about that very topic. I think they still need to go out and get a frontline starter.
Okay.
We found out this year that No one is bankable until they're bankable. I mean, we thought we knew Chris Paddock, and then look what 2020 looked like with Chris Paddock. Mm. He could come back and be the guy who struggled this season, or he could be the guy 2 years ago that showed the potential to be a 1 and 2, you know, in that range in your rotation. But you can't bank on either of those scenarios, not yet. Mackenzie Gore, he's the, you know, the can't miss guy, but behind the scenes at the ultimate site and, you know, some other things, we, you know, it was kind of whispered and rumored that he had some location problems. So they didn't want to rush him up last year. What, you know, is that going to continue, or is he going to be the guy that everybody said he could be and be a top of the rotation starter? They went out and got Mike Clevinger to seal up the top with Lamet. Now we don't know Lamet's situation, you know, not entirely. And Clevinger's not there, at least not this season. So you're still lacking the piece that you said you absolutely needed by going out and getting Mike Clevinger last year. I don't think, you know, would it be great if they're in the sweepstakes for Trevor Bauer? Yes. But with the pandemic season, record payroll at a Padres level, lost revenue, you know, with no fans in the stands, all those things, might be more realistic to chase a Blake Snell, might be more realistic to go after Lance Lynn for a year, might, you know, there are options to kind of hold out and see what Mike Clevinger looks like two seasons from now. But if they really want to win with the pieces they've got together with the lineup, you know, positionally where they're at, they still need to go out and get a frontline pitcher. And the postseason proved that, proved it again this year, and it really proves it every year.
Bryce Miller, San Diego Union Tribune, with us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Now, I'm going to move over to Aztecs basketball real quick because they started the year 2-0. They weren't ranked. Everybody was outraged. They beat UCLA, the number 22 ranked team in the country. They didn't get ranked again. Everybody was outraged again. Where do you stand on them being ranked or not? Do you think that they should be in the top 25?
It's too early to know with all the, because you're comparing them to all the other teams in the country, and we're just learning, you know, the number 3 and 4 teams in the country lost last week. So it's like the same dilemma with the early kind of results in college football. You'd have teams that have played 8 games and Utah had played 1. I mean, they're, it's not, it's apples to zucchini, not even apples to oranges, in terms of trying to compare all these teams. But, and I wrote a column about this a week or so ago in the Union Tribune. I think as surprising as it is, losing Malachi Flynn, losing Yanni Wetzel, losing KJ Fagan, you know, off a 30-2 team that finished number 6 in the country, it's almost unfathomable to think they might be deeper. But Brian Dutcher's talking about, yes, they might be deeper. And I think he's right. And that's because now they have the depth at the bottom of the lineup, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys in,
yeah,
to rotate more people on the court, and you still have proven scorers with Matt Mitchell and Jordan Shackle. So in a very roundabout way of not answering your question, I do think they're at a level that should be top 25. I just don't think the country recognizes it yet.
Yeah, I don't think the country realizes what we remember last year, Bryce Miller, and that is that the Aztecs punished your Iowa Hawkeyes, who are now ranked number 3 in the nation. They did a pretty good job against Luke Garza in that game, too. Now, I know this is a whole different season, but it's interesting to me that Iowa's vaulted all the way up to number 3, and the Aztecs can't even get a ranking. It seems like the two schools are actually pretty close, you know, but the rankings don't say so.
Yeah, well, Iowa, that's where I went to college, for those who have
Chris is referencing that.
They got 2 or 3 key players back, too. So they're a little bit of that model, too, like the Aztecs. They gained some bodies. Gomez comes in for the Aztecs. Tomaic? Am I mispronouncing that?
Tomaic or something. Yeah, Tomaic. It could be anything.
Yeah,
just call him
that.
The transfer from Maryland. That's all I call him.
I would call him the guy who averaged like a point, you know, a little over a point a game here at Maryland, and looked great against, you know, a stretch, the UCLA stretch and through there. So I think people are learning about him. I think that perception would be different if there was an NCAA tournament last year and that team with Flynn had gone deep and, you know, made some noise, did a lot of damage in the tournament. Then I think we might be having a different rankings conversation, because that puts a team like San Diego State in the spotlight that you don't always get unless you're Kansas or North Carolina or a school like that. So that might have changed the narrative a little bit, but you only care what you're ranked at the end, obviously, not to be too coachy, but But they keep winning. They'll climb up.
No question about it. Bryce Miller is with us. Bryce, before I let you go, I wanted to just ask you kind of a general San Diego question and your feel for this town and the columns that you write. I know you've referenced Spanos and the Chargers many times, and everybody can't stop talking about them. And I look every Sunday, and I wait until finally the local CBS affiliate here in town is going to stop making us watch Charger football every Sunday, even when they play the Jets. There's always better games that could be on. Here's my question. How long do we have to deal with the Chargers being ex-San Diego? When can we finally rid ourselves of them for good?
Well, in a perception way, I think you have rid yourself of them for good already, if you just have moved on with your life, you're from San Diego, you've cut that cord and you're not paying attention. But I'm not sure you're going to rid them from your TV channel in San Diego, because as Jay Posner, you know, sports editor of the UT, used to do a media column, very savvy about numbers and ratings. As he points out often over the last few seasons, even though there's a lot of hate watching going on in San Diego with the Chargers, the numbers are there. The ratings
still
are there.
Huh?
Yeah, so
doesn't surprise me.
I don't know about during this kind of free fall they're in right now. I don't know in recent numbers if that has changed, but over the last few seasons, they absolutely were there. And ratings and money drive those decisions about what games you see. If people weren't watching the Chargers, if those numbers weren't high, you wouldn't be seeing the Chargers.
That's very true. Very true, Bryce. And before we let you go, before I let you go, because Chris already let you go, so now it's my turn to let you go. I saw a tweet from you earlier about a man named Arnie Robinson, and he was a San Diegan who won Olympic gold in long jump in 1976, and he was also an Aztec. And you said he learned his sport using a mattress in his driveway. So that's like going back in the day when you had to teach yourself everything. Tell us a little bit about Arnie, and I know you have an article about him online.
Well, it'll be online at some point today. I'm still working on it. Once both of you are done letting me go, but Arnie's a true San Diego sports icon and legend. Even though it comes in a sport that is a niche, and then there's a niche within a niche because it was a field event in the long jump. But he grew up in Paradise Hills. He went to Morris High School. He attended Mesa College. He won an NCAA title at San Diego State. I mean, he spent his entire life growing and achieving here. And he actually got a bronze medal in the long jump in 72 in Munich, and then came back and won gold in 76. But just a really inspiring man. He fought cancer for so long, but he really committed himself to helping youth track in the area. And one little nugget I'll just share, but he's a guy worth learning more about if you don't know his story. But his son, Paul, had told me for a story I did a couple of years ago, his dad won a gold medal, and he didn't realize it until he was like 6 or 7. Like, his dad didn't even talk about it with his family.
Wow.
Didn't talk about it with coworker. Yeah. I would start every conversation with, oh, yeah, I won a gold medal.
Or just wear it. Going,
you know? Or just wear it around your neck. But
sure.
One of the most humble people I've known, and his, you know, how he put San Diego on the map at an Olympic level, fairly unprecedented. Not too many guys like that, men or women who grew up here and really aspired to do something at a global level and achieved it. So a big loss today for San Diego.
Well, something everybody want to check out online, Bryce Miller's column on Arnie Robinson. Yeah, I hadn't realized. I remember Arnie Robinson as a track athlete in the 70s watching the Olympics, but I hadn't come to San Diego State yet, so I didn't know he was even from San Diego. So that's what Bryce Miller does, man. He sheds light, shines a light on things that need to be shined upon, and he's just done a fantastic job since coming to San Diego by way of Iowa, and we're happy to have you in town, and keep up the great work, Bryce. Thanks for spending some time with us today, and good luck with everything.
Now I'm officially let go.
Yes, you're officially let go.
You're gone.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks again. Bryce Miller right there on the SDCCU fan hotline. Double payback days are here. Use your SDCCU debit or credit card, and you could win up to $1,000. No purchase is necessary. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Scraby and I were bored during the break there of the interview with Bryce Miller.
We were not bored.
Well, we're bored enough to look up pictures of Tom Boerwinkle.
Yes, Tom Boerwinkle. And you dropped some really horrible news right before we came back.
I know. I didn't know he passed away. Tom Boerwinkle was a 7-foot center for the Chicago Bulls back in the Jerry Sloan era.
Borey.
The 1970s. He was their center. I don't know why I came up with this out of nowhere.
Chris just randomly said Tom Boerwinkle, and I'm like,
and you're like,
excuse me?
Tom Boerwinkle, does he look like he sounds? And
he
I said, yes, he does. Look up a picture of Tom Boerwinkle.
And then he
looks about like
he
sounds his name is.
He passed away.
Passed away in 2013.
Wish I would have known you, Mr. Boerwinkle.
Good old Tom Boerwinkle getting a mention today. Thank you to Bryce Miller for joining us from the San Diego Union Tribune. Happy Hour's next, Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.